Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
We're back. Live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Instead of going for a touchdown, they kick the field goal, and it's a 20-10 game. What would you have done in that situation? Did you like that call?
I liked it because Jackson Dart was not in the lineup. When you don't have Jackson Dart in the lineup and you decide to go for it in that scenario, your playbook is limited. With Jackson Dart, the entire playbook is open in terms of the RPO game, his ability to improvise on the fly with his athleticism. Heck, we saw him doing that, what, three quarters before he exited with that concussion. So when you have Russell Wilson, who's a bit cold, if I'm a defender and you go for it, I know he's not running the football. I know he don't want to run the football. So now we limit it, we limit what we could see. I like taking the points, but this has just been the consistent trend with the Giants.
That was Bryant McFadden on the CBS postgame show talking about, I mean, it was a great take right there, obviously. You know, you have a limited playbook. You saw how, oh my gosh, devastating Jackson Dart was in the backfield running the RPO on both plays where it really gave the Bears defense some fits. But it was a pivotal moment, right? I mean, Brian Daboll at that point thought, I just want to go up two scores. Like, it's just 7 minutes left. I'm good. My defense, the Bears only have 10 points. Like, I'm all right. 20-10. They've only put up 10 points through three quarters and some change. I don't expect them to put up 14, and that's exactly what they did. And then he felt even better as the Giants kicked off the ball, and then the Bears, four and out. Like, that was it. Kyle Manunga rushes to the right for 9 yards. Second and one, which is this is the painful part right here. Painful part of the day. Bears down 10, two scores. You think you stopped them. And in my mind, I'm like, Bears are going to win. I already thought that in the third quarter. Bears get the ball back. 9-yard run, first play. You're like, oh, this is great. Let's move the chains. Then, incomplete pass to Cole Kmet. DeAndre Swift does that. Ugh, tough outside run that gets blown up. DJ Moore missed a block on that play. I remember that one vividly. As I was watching the replay, I'm like, oh, DJ Moore just completely whiffed on the cornerback. And he was there to cut off, to seal the edge. And that's why DeAndre Swift ended up getting caught eventually.
Maybe his shoulder was hurting him.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. And then on fourth down, of course, the incomplete pass to DeAndre Swift. I don't know if he would have got the first down anyway there. Would have been tough, you know, but still nonetheless, the four and out happens. Brian Dabb was like, I told you, idiots. Kick the field goal, go up 10. And look, we stopped them on down. Now we got the ball back. And this was like the Giants in a nutshell. Like, if I were, there are definitely moments in the second half where I was like, if I were a Giants fan, I'd be breaking the TV. You get the ball back on the Bears 43-yard line with 8 minutes and 41 seconds to go. You're up 10. 8 minutes to go, and you have the ball on the Bears' 43-yard line. Tyrone Tracy rushes for 5 yards, second and five. And then it starts to unravel. Giants get a false start penalty on Runyon. Then the 10-yard holding penalty. Oh, my gosh. Which I thought this was very smart, by the way. You know, because after that play, it was an incomplete pass. And I thought, why would you take the penalty? Initially, I thought, don't take the penalty. Make it third and 10 so you can get off the field fast enough. But Ben Johnson was like, no, we're taking the yards to put you on the opposite side of the field. Now you're going to be in Giants territory. And that left it at second and 20. And then got to third and 15. And that's when they got to fourth and 7. And the assumption was that they were going to either, you know, run a play. I didn't think they were going to punt it right there. But the Bears ended up stopping him, getting the punt. I mean, that right there was heartbreaking if you're a Giants fan. You're up 10. You should at the very least kick another field goal. And you can't even do that. You can't even go forward. You got more negative yards than you did positive yards out of the entire drive. Then the punt happens. Bears get the ball, and the rest is history. 9-play, 91-yard drive. Took them 2 minutes and 17 seconds. Bears kick off the ball, and then the Giants, again, a 3-and-out. Negative 8 yards in total on that drive. Give it up to the Bears. Bears, 4 plays, 53 yards. Caleb Williams touchdown. Giving the Bears the lead 24-20, and then the Bears defense shuts it down in the final possession of the game for the Giants. Just good stuff. But is this Bears team for real? Or are they fraudulent at 6-3? Curious your takes and thoughts after this one. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Of course, I'm hanging out with you guys before I get to the phone lines. Till 5 o'clock, that's when Dustin Rhodes takes over. And of course, he is the executive producer of Mully and Haw. So after he's done with the pregame show, Mully and Haw take over. They got Olin Krutz at 7, Brad Biggs at 8, Clay Harbor jumps on at 9 o'clock with Mully and Haw, then Raheemy, Harris, Brody. They got Anthony Heron at 11, Dan Wiederer at 1, Spiegel and Holmes jump on a little later. They got Kurt Warner at 3, former offensive lineman and a guy who was on the postgame yesterday. James Big Cat Williams will join Spiegel and Holmes at 4. Then Jason Leisure rounds things out at 5 o'clock. But right now, let's go out to your phone lines. Talk to my regulars that are out there. Let's go to Israel out in Round Lake. Israel, this Bears team, man, I know they won, but how you feeling?
My guy. How you doing tonight, man?
You know, hanging in there,
brother.
Eating hot Cheetos and trying to stay awake.
That's right. Another ugly win for our Bears, man. And for some reason, I felt better last week after that.
Of course.
Yeah, and today I just felt like it was an ugly three quarters. They just didn't have it going. And at the end, I want to ask you this, Gabe. If Jackson Dart stays in the game, do the Bears pull that off, right? That's what I keep thinking to myself, right? He goes out.
We know the answer to that, Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
I posed the question earlier today on the show, but we know the answer. Jackson Dart, listen, do I think Jackson Dart is better than Caleb Williams? Not even close, right? But is he like Tyson Bagent? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he's not gonna wow you with his arm strength. He's not gonna wow you with certain things, but he's gonna do the right thing. He's gonna complete the pass in front of him, you know, make the right read, you know, get the ball out quickly, and then, you know, maybe hurt you at the end. And that's exactly what he did with his legs.
Yeah, exactly. And as soon as I saw Russell Wilson come in, I'm like, there's no way. There's no way we're going to let this guy come in and drive down in Chicago in this weather. No way. He is not that guy, right? Like that famous video, you're not that guy.
You are not that guy. That's funny.
And I'm glad that Caleb was able to come down and hit that touchdown. That's an ugly win. Ugly win, right?
Isn't it funny, though, Israel?
I don't know how else to say it.
Israel, isn't it funny, though? Because I'm sure you, like me, felt still oddly optimistic about the game because you knew Caleb Williams is capable. Did you feel like that, or were you kind of like, I'm trying to think at what point was I worried? When the Bears had the ball with 5 minutes left and they were on the 50-yard line, I thought it was going to be more like Caleb got the ball with like 40 seconds left and had to put a touchdown on the board with one timeout. Like something like that, mm-hmm. where I still thought he could. I didn't think they'd put up the point so fast. You know what I mean? After sucking for three quarters and then the inefficiency and inability to convert third and fourth downs. Like, I didn't think they were going to score that fast. But for whatever reason, I mean, you know, they are relentless, right, Israel? Like, they will not stop. Like there is a level of believability in that locker room, both on the offense and defensive side of the ball, where they're like, okay, down two scores, whatever. We know we're going to do our end of the job, our end of the bargain. And then the defense just needed to step up. Like, granted, you didn't do a great job the entire game, but when the Bears needed you to do it, you actually stepped up in two extremely important possessions, which is crazy.
100%. We are winning games that we are used to losing at the end.
All right, I got a question. I know you weren't listening earlier, so I asked this question, and you know you're a regular on the show, mm-hmm. Israel, so I think this is a good one for you. So obviously the overarching question is, are the Bears for real or fraudulent? But if we're to say they're semi-fraudulent in the present, right, beating bad teams, who would they need to beat in order to be considered for real in your mind? Now, Israel, I know you're a real one because you're here with me every week. So
yes.
You know, the next, I'll just rattle off the next five or so. It's Vikings, Steelers, Eagles, Packers, Browns, Packers, Niners, Lions. All right.
Yes.
So from that, like, who do they need to beat for you to call me up once Monday morning and be like, damn, Gabe, I think the Bears are for real.
Beat this Vikings team next week, right? This same Vikings team that beat the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you may be saying, oh, it's the Vikings. They got McCarthy. He ain't for real, blah, 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 blah. They beat the Lions, man. So what I'm saying is you win this game week by week. I don't want to get ahead of myself and blah, blah. That Ravens game was kind of a few steps back without Lamar. I hate to admit it. It was. You beat the Vikings coming up, and we're talking now. 7-3? I mean, let's go. Let's win this game next week against JJ. I'm sorry. Caleb is better than JJ.
100%.
That's just facts. That's just facts.
Facts.
Go out there and do your job. I know it's in Minnesota, but they can do it. They can do it, and now we get serious.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the defense, right? And I think, oddly enough, it's going to be more on Noah Sewell than it is on, you know, a Nation Wright or Nate McLeod kind of a situation where we're thinking, oh, you know, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson. I mean, they got really good weapons. And so you would assume that your secondary would be the cause of your loss or, you know, concern. But no, Sue, you know what I mean? Like, and it's not that he's bad, right? It's just that it's the drop-off, right? The drop-off from Jalen Johnson to Tyreek Stevenson, there's a drop-off, but Tyreek Stevenson is still solid, right? The drop-off from Tyreek Stevenson, Nation Wright, like, okay, there's a drop-off, but it's not crazy, right? And I think the drop-off from T.J. Edwards to Noah Sewell, there's, like, the drop-off's just too big there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think when you're talking about, you know, Aaron Jones Sr., when you're talking about T.J. in the middle of the field, I mean, it's just, that's where I think the Bears could potentially struggle against the Vikings. But overall, especially with a chip on the shoulder, we get to see Benny J face a team for the second time for the, you know, first time we get to see Benny J go up against a squad that he lost to as a head coach at the Chicago Bears. What is his demeanor going to be like? Like, what is that post-game locker room going to feel like if the Bears win? He might pop a blood vessel in his forehead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't wait, Gabe. I trust Ben, and I'm looking forward to next week. That's all I got to say, man.
All right, I like it, man. Thanks for the call. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you, taking your phone calls, talking about this Bears victory. Bears win 24-20 against the Giants at home. Now go on the road to face the Minnesota Vikings next week, Sunday, 12 o'clock. All right, let's talk to Psycho out in Rochester. I don't know how comfortable I am calling you Psycho, but I mean, whatever. I'm here for it.
Hey, Gabe, what's happening, buddy?
What's going on, brother?
I think the Bears are a fraud.
Okay, tell me more. I'm here for this conversation.
Okay. All right. Let's face it. They've gotten wins against Washington. They should have lost that game. They got wins against the Raiders last second again. They should have lost that game. Who else did they get wins against? They should be beating these teams to cream these bad teams easily, but they struggle. Against the good teams, they're going to get blown out. They're going to lose to Minnesota next week. They're going to lose to Green Bay twice. They're going to lose to Detroit the last game. They got to beat the teams in the conference. They're inconsistent. They make a lot of stupid, undisciplined penalties, always on offense. And on defense, they got a sack today. They got a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct. It was a third down play.
That was a bad call, though. That was a bad call.
Yeah, it was a bad call. But, hey, I mean, you're undisciplined. Why even get into that situation? Why are you putting yourself in that situation? And as far as your defense, come on. 1 week they show up. Next week they give up 42 points to Cincinnati. There's a lot of inconsistencies in this team. I mean, I
hear you. I was saying I agree with you, right? I mean, listen, there's a case to be made for the Bears to be considered fraudulent, right, Psycho? I mean, they have beat bad teams. And so what is that going to look like when you're down 10 points with 5 minutes left to go and you're going up against the Steelers or you're going up against the Vikings, right, or the Eagles? Like, that part is going to be difficult to see. But is there any part of you, Psycho, right, because the Bears have shown that they're resilient, is there any part of you that thinks that maybe these winning ways or, you know, this style of football can translate, you know, when playing some of the better teams in the league? Any part of you that feels that way?
Well, for them coming back, and I tell this to any sport that I follow, it builds a lot of character. And that's good. I mean, you believe in yourself. Instead of being down on yourself, you believe in yourself. And when the Bears were down, when the Bears got that ball back, I was like, I think they're going to win this game. I really do. I think they're going to win this game. And sure enough, Caleb's, I'm rooting for the guy. I really am. I mean, I think he's a good quarterback. He had a lot of drop passes today, and I think he's good. I'm rooting for him. And, you know, he's showing leadership, and that's what you need in a quarterback. And I do think they could maybe possibly win against a good team coming back. I really do. But consistently, like against the Philadelphia or against Seattle, against the Rams, against San Francisco, I don't see that.
It's tough.
You got to beat the teams you got to beat. Let's face it. You got to beat the teams you got to beat.
Yeah.
You got to beat the Atlantas. You got to beat the Saints.
Right.
You got to beat the Cellar Dwellers. But when it comes against the good teams, are you going to be disciplined enough? Are you going to trust them to be more disciplined than what they have been the last couple weeks? I mean, it's all about growing up, and I'm rooting for them, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I think this is a team that you know, could potentially find their way, you know, to where they believe in themselves even against the better teams. It's one thing to believe in yourself, like you said, Psycho. You got to beat the Atlantas. You got to beat the Saints. You got to beat the Cowboys of the league. And then what you got to do is take that momentum, take that positivity, and try to find a way to win against the better teams, right? Like you said, the Vikings beat the Lions. You know, you saw Miami beat Buffalo today. Like, it can happen, but you got to find those wins in order to get into the playoffs, in order to consider yourself one of the top teams. So let me ask you this on the way out, Psycho, because, you know, I know they're frauds in the present. But how far away are the Bears, in your mind, like in terms of your own personal timeline, from competing for like a Super Bowl?
They need a left tackle, some defense. I say maybe not next year, maybe the following year, I'd say.
Yeah, that's good. I like this timeline. I like it. See, you're not really a psycho. You're like a regular person. You have the same timeline like most of us out here. A couple years from now, Grant.
2 years? I mean.
2 years, yeah.
It's next. Wishful thinking for sure.
How many years is it going to be before the Bears are competing for a Super Bowl, in your mind?
In my mind?
Yeah.
I mean, they need, on a consistent basis, they need the rush defense to look 10 times
better. Right. Give me the years. Give me the years.
I mean, two.
What, anything more this, than that's going to be.
I feel like this year there's been so much turnover in the NFC side because, like, obviously you had the Vikings and the Lions as the two big powerhouses, right? 14 wins. And, like, we thought the Lions weren't going to be good because they lost two of their coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the Vikings, new quarterback as well. Obviously the Vikings have kind of dipped down, but, like, teams like Seattle have come out of nowhere and just, they're the best team in the NFC. So there's a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of parity going on in the NFC. So who knows? If it continues like this, maybe the Bears 3 to 4 years can be competing consistently and be picks to be in the NFC title game against the teams like the Eagles or the Niners Packers.
Nobody's trying to wait 3 or 4 years.
Obviously not here. But like,
I think this year has proven that you can take a significant leap. I think next year you should be doing at the very bare minimum exactly what you're doing this year, which is beating the bad teams. However, you should then stack on a couple victories on top of that. And then the year after that, Jesus, 2 years from now, Caleb Williams should be where he's supposed to be in Ben Johnson's offense. Like, they better be a top 14. They better win the division in 2 years.
So let me ask you this. I think this year, because I predicted them to win 6 or 7 games, and I thought that's a good mark for this team. New head coach, new system, everything like that.
And they're there already.
Right? But at this point, if they make the playoffs and they face a potential Seattle or a Philadelphia or Green Bay in the playoffs in the first round, are they playing with house money? Because like at that point, it's like you're at a spot where you're like, we overachieved, or even like we are looking forward to 2026, 2027, things like that. Forward.
Teams don't want to see the Bears in the playoffs just because you're just not sure.
They could be dangerous. Yeah. Absolutely.
There's uncertainty when it comes to this Bears team. Can they, like, because the potential for them to put 21 on the board in the first quarter exists, right? Like, they can. They haven't, but they moved the ball well between the 20s. They put themselves in a position to score. They've just been putting up threes instead of sevens. So nobody really wants, like, you don't want to see them. Now, what you say is, especially if you got Jalen Johnson back, especially if you got TJ Edwards back, if you got, you know, you're looking healthier as the season continues and winds down. Like, that's the thing. But, you know, I'm sure they'd rather see the Bears than, like, the Rams.
Yeah, and when I mean dangerous, I mean, like, they could, if you sleep or you take them lightly, you might end up losing that game. And it could be a game in Philadelphia or a game in Lambeau Field where they take them lightly and be like, all right, you know, we're looking forward to a game in Seattle or a game in L.A. to face the Rams, stuff like that. They could beat you, and they could move on to the second round.
Bears currently 7th in the playoffs if they were to start today. And, of course, they got to stack up a couple more victories in order to taste that P word and see what it sounds like. But it was a good start today. Bears defeat the Giants 24-20, put up 14 points in the fourth quarter after scoring 10 through 3. Caleb Williams, 20 for 36 on the day, 220 yards, had a touchdown, no interceptions, no sacks on the day. Another clean game from Caleb Williams. Couple drops would have definitely elevated those stats a bit. DeAndre Swift in the running game. Bears, 171 total rushing yards on the day. 13 carries from DeAndre Swift for 80 yards. Caleb Williams put up over 50 in the fourth quarter alone, had 8 rushes for 63 yards. Then Kyle Manungai adding to his touchdown with 7 carries and 28 yards on the receiving end. Roma Dunze, 6 catches, 86 yards on 10 targets, caught himself a touchdown as well. Colston Loveland had 4 catches, 55 yards on 4 targets. Luther Burden had 3 for 51. Looked great on that big 27-yard explosive play. DeAndre Swift, 5 catches out of the backfield for 18. Then Alamide and Cole Kmet, both 1 catch for 5 yards, where Alamide, surprisingly, he was the sure-handed guy earlier in the season, found himself on the back end. Clay Harbor tweeted something out. Clay Harbor will be on the station at 9 o'clock today with Mully and Haw. He tweeted something out where Alamide Zaccheaus had like an 89.1 passer rating when throwing the ball. Luther Burden had a 138.6. It was like a perfect passer rating when the ball is being thrown to him. Colston Loveland was up there as well. So if you're listening at 9 o'clock, I'm sure Clay Harbor is going to convince you that the Bears should be throwing the ball to Burden and Loveland a bit more than they're doing in the present. If you're looking for DJ Moore stats, didn't have any. 0 catches on 4 targets. Had a, I think it was like either a shoulder. I want to say shoulder because he was holding it down. But then when you saw him on the sideline, he was like working out his wrist with a rubber band, trying to, you know, create some tension there. So it'll be interesting to see what happened and what they say with DJ Moore. On the defensive side of the ball, 9 quarterback hits for this Bears team. I mean, that's hella pressure. Austin Booker had 3 of them. Unfortunately, couldn't pick up a sack on the day. C.J. Gardner-Johnson obviously had the two sacks, so he had two hits. Tremaine Edmonds had one. Javon Dexter had one. Montez Sweat, with a sack and a half, had two quarterback hits. Bears had six pass deflections and seven tackles for losses. Obviously, the run game was struggling, especially in the first half. Bears did an excellent job stuffing both Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary in this one. So defense played well. Saw a bunch of names out there and, you know, didn't get an interception. Nashon Wright dropped one, but I think overall, you would have, I mean, 20 points. When you're looking at the amount of points the Bears have allowed over the course of the season, 20 would be the second, or, yeah. They allowed 14 to the Saints and the Cowboys, which is crazy because the Cowboys put up hella points now. And then 20 points to the Giants in this one. These are the other games for the Bears defense. 27, 52, 24, 24, 30, 42. Oh my gosh, those are some big numbers right there.
They are big numbers.
Those are some big numbers. So, again, the Bears need to do something. I think it's going to be a tough one against the Vikings on Sunday. They're going to need all hands on deck. But it's about momentum, right? Going on the road, taking this momentum, understanding that you're winning with room to grow. It's not like you're winning and you feel like you played a great game and, you know, this is the game right here. No, it's like Bears are winning and there are still things this team can do to be better and to clean things up. On the penalty side, only three penalties on the day for 25 yards, so Bears certainly cleaned that up. But overall, I'm getting a lot of text messages where people are saying the Bears are frauds and not for real. Shout out to people texting in from St. Cloud, Florida. Yes, it is a victory Monday. I'm calling him Benny J, but somebody from the 847 called him Tricky Benny J. All right.
Tricky Benny, I don't know.
Tricky Benny doesn't sound
Have we seen enough trick plays from Ben Johnson? I don't know.
I've seen my fair share.
Well, I mean, with the Lions, yes, but like this year.
I've seen my fair share this year. That's what I was talking about. I've seen my fair share.
Oh, gotcha.
But, you know, again, I just want to see a clean game. I want to see a couple of touchdowns. I want to see some good passing. I want to see Caleb throw from the pocket. Like there's still things that the Bears can do to make themselves be a formidable opponent for anyone, not just, you know, teams that are at the bottom half of the league, but also for the tough ones. So, again, the question remains, after this Bears game, Bears defeat the Giants 24-20. Do you think the Bears are fraudulent or for real? 312-644-6767. What are your takeaways from this game? Do you have any? Did you think, like most, that the Bears were going to lose after the first three quarters? Because this could have been bad. This could have been a bad overnight show. We could have been really just coming down on the Bears for being 5-4. But thank God they're not. 6-3, the Chicago Bears. Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank. And great clips. Again, riding you right until 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes takes over. Then, of course, after that, Mully and Hall come on. They got Olin Krutz, Brad Biggs, Clay Harbor at 7, 8, and 9, respectively. Raheemian Harris and Grody. They got Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11 and 1. Then Spiegel and Holmes. They got Kurt Warner at 3. They got James Big Cat Williams at 4. And then Jason Leisure at 5. But I have you next. What are your thoughts on this Bears game? Phone lines are open. I am live and local for you. 312-644-6767. Your call's next right here on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. year, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Hey, I tell you, he looks like a Houdini back there in the backfield, because, like I said, that's a really good pass-rushing front that they've given a lot of teams fits. I think Burns is leading the NFL in sacks, and so there are times where he's trying to escape and making some things happen. He had a couple throws down the field, but like you said, over 50 yards again rushing for the second week in a row, and I thought in the fourth quarter there we really needed that as a shot in the arm to end up winning that ball game. So credit to him.
Houdini he was, and the handcuffs in this particular magic trick were the New York Football Giants, and he sure got out of those cuffs without a key. Two touchdowns in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes to go. Caleb Williams shows you that the magic not only happens in the pocket, but also on the field. Bears win 24-20. Take down the Giants, got the Vikings next week. But again, it begs the question, are the Bears fraudulent or for real? And the only reason I ask that question, right, it's not necessarily to knock the Bears, because, you know, Lord knows I'm a meatball fan. I think the Bears, you know, any show I'm on, Chicago lead, Fox, whatever, whenever they ask me who's going to win, I'm like, guys, this is a stupid question because I'm always going to pick the Bears. However, when looking at how this game made you feel, right, that's really where the question stems from. You feel good about the Bears because they're 6-3, and you're happy because you've had six happy Mondays. But you also know who they've beaten, and you also know how they've beaten these teams. So it only begs the question, are they fraudulent or are they for real? 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. So many guests on the show today ready to talk Bears and really just break it down from different angles. That's the coolest part about the Score, right? It's me at friggin' 3:36 in the morning giving my opinion on the Bears and what I think, giving you an opportunity to call in. Then Dustin Rhodes comes on 5 o'clock, detailed about everything you missed, all the nuances, maybe some other stuff that happened in sports over the weekend. Then you get Mully and Hall. They come on with their expertise, years of experience in newspaper writing, being a morning show here at 670 Score. And then they get to share opinions and discuss the game with guys like Olin Krutz at 7. Brad Biggs at 8, Clay Harbor, 9-year NFL vet Clay Harbor at 9 o'clock. Then Raheem Harris and Grody, what a great trio. Grody, you know how much he loves the Bears. Layla Rahimi, great, excellent breakdown skills. And Marshall Harris is a friend, a dear friend of mine who always keeps it real about these Bears. And they get the chance to talk to Anthony Herod at 11, then Dan Weeder at 1. Dan Weeder, come on, take the North podcast. Then Spiegel and Holmes. Two trusted veteran voices in Chicago sports radio. They get to talk to Kurt Warner from The Greatest Show on Turf at 3 o'clock. Former Bears offensive lineman James Big Cat Williams at 4. And then one of the trusted writers in Chicago, Jason Leisure, jumps on at 5 o'clock with the fellas. But right now we get to talk to you. 312-644-6767. Are the Bears for real or are they frauds? Let's go to Bernie out in Northwest Indy. Bernie, after this game, what do you think about your Chicago Bears?
Well, I think they're the same that they've been all year. You know, they beat the 6 worst defenses in football, and they've had a comeback to do all 6 of them. I mean, you know,
it's a good point.
They were getting torched till Brisker kicked Jackson Dart in the head and concussed them. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was watching that game, and I said, as soon as he went out, I said, they're done. They're putting in that 40-year-old Russell Wilson, who hasn't played football any good for the last 5 years, you know, probably making about $25 million a year, you know, so.
All right, so
much of a chance after that.
Bernie, take me through, because obviously you feel like the Bears are frauds. So take me through the next several games where they're playing, you know, real competition. Is it blowouts? Are the Bears finding a way to win one of those? Or are they going to be exposed during this stretch run?
Well, you know, my belief is, okay, they might not win another game. Okay? I mean, they're not playing one losing team out of their next
one. Well, they got one. They got the Browns.
Yeah, but the Browns are a good team. You know? They play defense, you know?
Okay.
The Bears haven't played a defense yet. I mean, really. You know, they played Baltimore, you know, with second string people, and they got beat. You know, so, but they played some defense against the Bears, and they showed what the Bears could really were. You know, any team that they've had to play this year that had any defense, they didn't look real well. You know, so.
I mean, listen, you're bringing, you know, it's a hot take.
I think their defense is garbage. I really do. You know.
I mean, it's not the. Not the best, obviously banged up, right? No T.J. Edwards, no Jalen Johnson on the outside. I mean, you bring up a possibility, right? I mean, the Bears not winning a game is certainly possible. They're playing some of the best teams in the league, you know, sans the Vikings and the Browns. But, I mean, the Vikings, we know who they are. And the Browns, as you mentioned, they do have a good defense. Dylan Gabriel's terrible, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Terrible, like just horrible. So, I mean, that part's going to be tough. But two Packers, the Eagles, the Steelers, that's hard. Two Packers, the Eagles, the Steelers, a Lions, a Niners team that continue. Like, the Niners are who the Bears want to be. You know, really good running game, solid defense, and a quarterback that, you know, gets the job done. Like, it can move the ball between the 20s and occasionally put it in the end zone. Like, that's who the Bears want to be in the present. But if the Bears go undefeated, or excuse me, if the Bears don't win another game, Bernie, I'm going to be pissed at you. I got to be honest.
Don't be pissed at me. I mean, you know, I'm just,
you know, messing with you.
I just look at it for what it is, you know? I mean, they're playing, you know who they could beat? I think they could beat Minnesota next week.
I do,
know?
Too.
I really do.
I think they will.
Of all the games left that they got to play, because by the time they get to San Francisco, Brock Purdy's going to be back, you know? So they're not going to have Mac Jones back there playing quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, so they'll have an NFL quarterback playing, you know. I mean, you know, every team in the NFL is beat up. You know, you talked about the Bears' defense. There isn't a defense in the league that has all their players. Look at Detroit. Detroit's playing with guys they got from Walmart and Kmart last week,
That's
you
funny.
Know. And Kmart's been out of business for 20 years, you know.
Shout out Kmart. Shout out Kmart, Addison and Kimball. I will say this. You're absolutely right. I travel to one game every year, Bernie, with my family. This year, we're going to San Francisco. Flights are booked. Airbnb is booked. Tickets are bought. And I just hope that that's a game where if the Bears win, they find themselves in the playoffs. Like, I would love to, in my lifetime, be at a playoff clinching game, you know? And it would just be great if the Bears beat the Vikings, steal a game from either the Steelers, Eagles, or Packers, beat the Browns, and now they're at 9 wins. And then they just got to beat the Niners to have 10, and then they make the playoffs. Like, that would be, oh, my gosh.
Preferably you want the Steelers because it's Rodgers' last game at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Hey, Gabe, you're just too young. You know, you got to be around during them 85 Bear years, man. You know, I mean, from 83 to 91, Nate, that was great football years, you know?
I wish I could have experienced a little more, Bernie, because I don't know what these winning ways feel like. And I will say it feels good, but I'm cautiously optimistic. I am protecting my heart.
I think if the Bears stop the run in Minnesota, they can win the game.
Tough task. That's
it is
for
a tough
sure.
task asking the Bears defense to stop the run.
All right, let's go out to Rashawn in Elmwood Park. Rashawn, Bears win 24-20 against the Giants. But when you're looking at this team, are they more of the Buffalo Bills 6-3? Or are they more of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 6-3? Or are they in a category of their own, just straight up frauds?
Good morning, Gabe. I'm going to say they're in a category of their own. We have to remember, though, it was just 2 years ago where they won 3 games and we went almost a calendar year without even winning a game. Mm. So we're still in transition. It's not going to take that long. A couple of years. Like you say, even the ones that are, if we get back the healthy ones, that's going to change the whole dynamic of the backfield, which on the defense, which we're really hurting in. And I'm visually impaired, so I can only listen to the game, and I didn't listen to Detroit. But besides that game, most of the games, the defense held up for a half, and then toward the end, it's like they're worn down. So if we can get us a pass rusher and a offensive lineman next year, by the year after that, we should be in position. Everyone's healthy. We found a diamond in the rough in Gardner. We should be able to compete for the conference and maybe even go a couple rounds into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the hope, right, Rashawn, that the Bears are able to do that. And I think they can. They just got to get a little bit more out of Caleb Williams, don't you think?
Oh, definitely that. I mean, like I said, the culture is changing. Now, they do put the UGG in ugly winning, but, it is changing because, like I said, these were games we used to lose automatically. And even with Cincinnati, when was the last time you heard the Bears won a shootout? So, you know, it's not the best way, but it's improvement. And things are looking up, and especially for the offense. The offense is going to be nice for a couple of years without even making a lot of moves. So, we focus on the defense in a couple years. I think we're going to be everybody's going to be surprised. I believe we're ahead of schedule already anyway with this year.
I agree. Ahead of schedule, certainly. I think, you know, you're talking about a Bears team that has put up over 21 points in every game but one this year, right?
Yes.
And obviously they had moments where they were putting up big numbers, but to do it consistently like this, I mean, it says a lot about this squad, and obviously, you know, Caleb Williams is going to get better in the offense. Yeah. Ben Johnson's going to get more comfortable calling plays. And, you know, Dennis Allen is still a good football coach, so he's going to find ways to be creative on the defensive side of the ball. I think like most fans, Rashawn, we just want to see or hear them put it together for 4 quarters, right? Like, I don't want this every single week. I'm watching these games, and I'm like, well, you're giving me 30 minutes of football that I can point to say the Bears are good, but you're also giving me 30 minutes of football that I can point to and be like, you're fraudulent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then, like you said, they have to be complimentary also. So we had them score 40-some points last week, and then they struggled with 10 for 3 quarters this week. You know, so it's not only the defense. The offense, you know, has to be consistent. Because, like you said, they have the firepower, they have the talent, but it's not consistent, and they don't complement each other.
Rashawn, let me ask you this on the offensive side, because when you said that, it made me think of something, right? Because I was going to say, all right, well, who does the offense need to lean on more in order to be more productive, right? And I think when you're looking at this game and you see Ben Johnson come out where 5 out of his first 6 plays are passes against one of the worst rushing defenses in the NFL, I'm trying to figure out what it is, right? Like, why can't the offense click? Is it because we're trying to force – or is it because the Bears are trying to force things, or instead of leaning on what's working, is it they're trying to be too cute? Is it – you know, like, what is it for you in your mind why the offense isn't operating as well as it should?
That's what I was going to say. I agree with you earlier. Like, I think sometimes he overthinks and it's too cute for his own good because – like you said, if you know that's their weakness, at least try it, attempt it. But I think sometimes he'll say, well, they think we're going to run because we know how bad they are. So let's start off by passing and surprise them. But no, go with what's working. Like you said, even it was working and they still didn't lean on it because I thought they were going to do more switching up with Swift and the other running back. And it was like they mostly did Swift and every now and then here. But, yeah, I thought they should have did way more running.
Yeah, leaning on the run early. The problem with that is, you know, when you're looking at a Bears team that got they had 171 yards on the ground today, right? But it's not the when we hear 171 yards as a football fan, and you're like, oh, they got number one rushing attack in the league. You're thinking of the casual fan is thinking of like a workhorse running back that right. You know 26 rushes, 143 yards. And then you're like, damn, the Bears, they could run the ball all over the place. But that's not really what it is, right? You had 80 yards from DeAndre Swift, who had one long run of 25 yards. You have Caleb Williams with, you know, 60-some yards, but one long run of 27 yards. Like, it's, so you subtract those 50, and then you split up the rest of the carries between three, or the rest of the yards between three people. It's like, you got a good run game, but that's not what you should be leaning on because it's weird. It's just hard. It's hard to find the identity of this team.
Yeah, it's still, like you said, it's still not coming together. And then I think some of the decision-making, we still have to, I guess, wait on our quarterback to kind of get it because there was a series on the third quarter where we were moving the ball, and I think we got like 8 yards on the first down. He threw a pass over through somebody, and then he could have ran for it, and then he wound up throwing that ball away. And it's like we wind up and that's another thing, turning the ball over. Even though we don't have picks, we turn the ball over too many times. It's good to go for it sometimes, but sometimes just take the points and fight another day.
Yeah, and I do wish the Bears were a bit more aggressive in the red zone. We talk about it week in and week out. It seems like it's a common theme, Rashawn, where you know the Bears get into the gold zone, I should say, the 30-yard and in, and they can't put the ball in the end zone. And it's funny because, you know, Bears got to the 10-yard line in the third quarter. You know, this might be the possession you're talking about. It's first and goal from the 10. You see, and my big gripe has been, like, when you're first and goal in the 10 or within the 10-yard line, like, just loft the ball up into the end zone. You see every other team do it. They just kind of do a fade route to the back end of the end zone. And the Bears struggle with that. So first and 10, what do we do? Or what do the Bears do? A 5-yard out to Cole Kmet where it's a bullet. Like, no finesse, no leading him, right? Then the second play, it's a run, a predictable run, because you know you're trying to get in position. Mm-hmm. Then on third down, Rashawn, they prove and show why, like, or they answer the question, why don't the Bears throw it in the back of the end zone? Well, on third down, Caleb tries to find Rome, and it was probably the worst fade route I've ever seen in football, right? Where, like, Rome gets bumped off the line, Caleb throws it out of bounds, Rome's like, where's the ball? Like, it was, and then I was like, oh, that's why they don't throw it to the back of the end zone or throw it up for a receiver to go get, because it looked that bad, but Ended up with a field goal instead of 7 points, which is, again, is the crux of this Bears offense, the inability to put up sevens when they and ultimately put up threes.
And I would like to see them go more with the tight end that are bigger. Both our tight ends can catch and that's short distance. You know, let them do a block and just release and a quick 5-yard. Like you said, you don't have to throw a bullet, but you can loft it up because they have the height.
Yeah.
And just do it that way.
Give them the opportunity. Rashawn, I appreciate the phone call, man. Look forward to talking to you every week when you call in.
All right. Have a great morning.
Of course. Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, taking your phone calls 312-644-6767. The question of the night has been, are the Bears fraudulent or for real? Text message came in, and we've been going back and forth for a little bit, and it's very cordial, I should say. He said, you know, how can the Bears be fraudulent if they're beating the teams in front of them? How are the Bears frauds if they win the games they're supposed to win? I think you got to understand the question a bit more, right? It's not that, again, I think they're the Carlos Boozer of the league. They're better than the bad teams. That's fine. You're better than those teams. So that's good. But 6-3 against bad teams or a handful of bad teams, you have the same record as somebody that's 6-3 that has beaten some good teams. So that's where the fraudulent nature comes in, right? When you look at teams here, because I know you probably don't have the standings in front of you, and I think that would paint a better picture for you. Of course, I'm talking to the individual that's texting in from the 815. But when you're looking at the standings, the Bills are 6-3, right? The Bills are 6-3. The Chargers are 7-3. The Eagles are 6-2. They got a game today. If they lose, if the Eagles lose, they're 6-3, right? The Lions are 6-3. Are you part of that group? Are you cut from that cloth? So that's what I say, fraudulent. That's what I'm talking about. Are you? Can you be a part in that same conversation as those teams? Or are you the 6-3 team like the Chicago Bulls, where you're out to a hot start and then all of a sudden nobody really believes in you? That's what I'm getting at. So I'm not taking away anything from the Bears for winning, right, against bad teams that you're supposed to. It's just, listen, this game against the Giants could have made you feel otherwise, could have made you feel like they were for real. Had they kept their foot on their throat like the Niners did the week before and embarrassed the Giants, right? You let Jackson Dart outplay Caleb Williams for the first three quarters, and then you win the game, and I'm supposed to say that the Bears are for real? I can't. It's tough. So it's hard for me to do that. And again, 815, the fraudulent or for real, the question is more to analyze the expectations for your Chicago Bears. And if you think they're for real, your expectations for a 6-3 team should be that they not only make the playoffs, but can be competitive in the playoffs. But if you think they're fraudulent, then you might say we're in for a tough stretch over the next 5 or 6 games. And even if they were to sneak into the playoffs, they might get embarrassed because now they'll be playing a real team as opposed to the Giants, the Saints, etc. So that's where fraudulent or for real comes in. Let's take one more before we go to break. Let's go to Greg out in Wisco. Greg, love chatting with you, my Bears fan in Packerland.
Well, good morning, Gabe. Last week when I called in, I talked to Gabe Ramirez. This week, calling in, I'm talking to Emmy Award-winning Gabe Ramirez. Hey. Isn't that a nice change, huh, buddy?
Emmy Award-winning Gabe Ramirez.
You're right.
Oh, my goodness.
You had to pop it in.
I did. You're welcome for that free plug. So I think the word we need to maybe come to realize is they're fraudulent.
I love this.
Sometimes it looks like, who the heck are these guys? And then sometimes it's like, yes, we're world beaters.
This is great.
You know, it's just part, maybe it's part of the stepping up to being a consistent quality football team. I have more faith in them now than I had last year, for sure. And throughout the game, it's a roller coaster. Every game, I think that's what we're in for until they find their steady, consistent stride.
That's great, because you're absolutely right, Greg. I think when you're talking about teams that are trying to get out of the doldrums of the NFL, right, how do you do that? Well, there are steps. Very rarely do you go from, you know, bottom feeder to Super Bowl contender. There has to be steps along the way. And I think for the Bears, there was a point in time a couple years ago, Greg, where I just wanted the Bears to not be embarrassed on Sunday. Like, that's how bad this team was. Well, I was like, damn, you guys are so bad. Just don't be the laughing stock of the league. Because I live here in Chicago, and I have to hear this everywhere I go. Like, oh, my God, the Bears suck. And you're like, I know. Right? So, like,
yeah.
So there was a point where it was just like, just don't embarrass me, the fan. Don't embarrass me on Sunday. So, like, that was step one. Then they got there. Then it was, like, because then they started losing games, but they were respectable losses, right? Like you felt like that was okay. And then that was another step.
Sure.
And then it was winning some of those games, right? Some of those games. Like, okay, you won a few. And then it was, you know, now it's, okay, beat the teams you're supposed to beat. And I think that's where your word that you just created, fraudulent, is is relevant, Greg, because that's where you're at, where you're beating the teams you're supposed to, but you're not necessarily a top-tier team. So you're not fraudulent, and you're not necessarily real. You're in the middle. You're fraudulent. I like this.
Right.
I like where you're going with this. I might use this on TV. Hey, I might use this on TV. As an Emmy Award-winning host.
Well, as long as I can get some sort of royalty for that, I think we'll be okay, man.
I got y'all. I always remember Greg and Wisco.
All right, you have a great day, Gabe.
Do the same. Oh, that's what I like to hear. See, Giving me positivity heading into the 4 o'clock hour. I love it. All right, phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. You heard Greg. Not only are the Bears not fraudulent and not real, they are fraudulent somewhere in the middle. But what is it for you? The game didn't make you feel good. I know that. Because I know you feel like I feel, where you're happy about the victory. You're ecstatic that they're 6-3. But there's something uneasy in your stomach when it comes to this Bears squad. Is it because you know what's coming? Or because you've properly assessed them in real time as to who they are in the present? 312-644-6767. Are they frauds or are they for real? I'm talking about your Chicago Bears. It's Gabe Ramirez on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Your calls next. Again, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.